Peak Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
Did you enjoy Labor Day weekend? And did you remember to thank all the energy slaves who made your enjoyment possible? What's an energy slave, you ask? Energy slaves don't look like the workers honored on Labor Day. The lineman restoring your power after a storm, the backhoe operator digging a house foundation, or the nurse changing a patient's bandages. They symbolize the energy sources that heat and cool the buildings and power the machines that run our society. One energy slave represents the power output from a human working as hard as a slave driver might drive a slave. A strong human working hard all day can put out roughly 100 watts of power, or 1/7 of a horsepower. Working that hard 12 hours per day, 6 days per week, 50 weeks per year, a human can produce about 1 million BTU of energy, the amount of energy contained in a mere 8 gallons of gasoline. From oil alone, 150 energy slaves serve the average person in the U.S. The electrical line worker drives a truck everywhere. The backhoe makes digging a foundation in flinty soil seem effortless. And the nurse uses bandages and medicines made with and from oil in a hospital heated with oil. But now, the slaves are starting to slip away. World crude oil production seems to have peaked in May 2005, and production at existing fields is declining at 4-5% per year. The world peak and decline have been forecast for over 50 years. We know oil is non-renewable. U.S. oil production peaked in 1970 and has halved since then. The permanent decline in world oil production is inevitable. Will we see some slight rebound before the long descent? Maybe, maybe not. In either case, we're not prepared. A 2005 study for the U.S. Department of Energy concluded that to successfully prepare for peak oil, the U.S. needed to begin 20 years before the peak and to give it an Apollo Project level of effort. Yet peak oil may already have arrived. In Vermont, we're especially vulnerable. We have long, cold winters, a rural population dependent on cars, and we use oil to import 95% of our food and to grow all of it. Vermont has no in-state sources of oil, and the U.S. as a whole imports about 2/3 of its oil. As world oil production declines, oil-producing countries will likely use a larger proportion of their remaining production themselves. Oil may become scarcer faster in Vermont than in the world as a whole. It's past time for us as individuals and society to start learning to live with fewer of these energy slaves. The key is to use energy much more efficiently and relocalize our economy, using food, renewable energy, and materials from our own backyards or state, rather than from across the globe. Much of this we know how to do, and some things can be done quickly, like cutting out some trips and taking others by bicycle or carpool or public transportation. Some things take more time. David Zuckerman, a farmer and chair of the House Agriculture Committee, estimated that with a massive effort it would take a single growing season to replace imported food in Vermont. But what will we eat in the meantime if a hurricane or a terrorist attack crimped the flow of oil that transports 95% of our food to us from outside the state? Some things take even longer. We could save over $450 million in heating expenses by investing $15 million a year in efficiency for just 10 years. And that's calculated with oil costing about 1/3 of what it does now. We could gradually and stably increase our local farmers' ability to produce food for us by buying 90% local food for all the state employee cafeterias, prisons, and other state institutions, and helping schools and businesses to do the same. We could build out passenger rail and increase bus routes and frequency. Individuals can grow more of their own food, drive less, bicycle more, heat with sustainably harvested wood, and super-insulate their homes. The human workers honored on Labor Day are vulnerable to the effects of peak oil, as energy prices may double again, and many businesses are likely to close in the economy, no longer fueled by so many energy slaves. We need robust public policy to protect the most vulnerable and to help us to work together to learn to live well with fewer energy slaves. I'm Carl Etnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.